encouraging message, something that I hope will help you be able to get through some of the difficulties, some of the things that come up in life. And not just that, but maybe you're at a point in life where things aren't so bad and you're kind of going through and you've got new things going and life is going good. Maybe this is something that will help you, I hope, to help kind of launch you to that next level, whatever it is, wherever you're headed with God. And I know that God lays things on our hearts. We have things down inside. Every one of us has something down inside that we long for and we look for. And this is the kind of message I believe will help to prompt those things to get to the surface, to get all the way into fruition so that we can see what's going on. But let's start with some prayer this morning. Father, we are coming before you in the name of Jesus. We are humbling ourselves in your presence. We are here with your people. We're gathered with like-minded believers, people that are in tune with you and believing for you to speak to them this morning. And I pray for exactly that, Lord. I pray that hearts are tuned in to you to hear what the Spirit is saying to them personally. Father, that your Spirit within rises up and is stirred to fulfill some of the things that you have called each one of these people to. Father, I thank you for it. Thank you for what you've done in my life up to this point, Lord. Thanks for the opportunity to be able to share your word with folks this morning, Lord. We're praising you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning I want to talk to you about pressing through. Okay, that was the title that I came up with. And here's the gist of what I'm referring to when I talk about pressing through. It seems that so often in our lives, we are right on the verge of something bigger and better. Like there is something that if we just pressed through, if we just stepped over that line, if we just went through that door, or if we just, you know, made the next step, we're going to enter into a new, maybe a new stage in life, a new area of ministry, a new something that God is calling us to. We are most often in our life, I believe, right at the point where we could go over the top of the mountain. Okay, if anybody ever walked into mountains, we live pretty close. I've been out in the mountains a lot over the years, and there's times where you come up over the crest of a mountain because you know that there's something on the other side. And for me, I just like to see what's over there, what is on the other side. And I know that in life, we're like going up this mountain, and I believe that if we get to the top of that mountain and we look over to the other side, we're going to see that there is this beautiful and wonderful meadow on the other side. But what happens so often in life is we're climbing up to the crest of that mountain and we stop for whatever reason and we go back down. We never get to see what was in that meadow on the other side. Because I believe in that meadow on the other side is more peace. Okay, in that meadow on the other side is more joy. Okay, in that meadow is more contentment, more satisfaction, like you feel like you're fulfilling something. Okay, in that valley is more prosperity. Okay, we're struggling and struggling. Just get over that mountain to the meadow where the prosperity is. Okay, I believe that that meadow contains health and healing, wholeness in our body. And in that meadow, there is more holiness. Okay, we're called to it. God said, "Be holy, for I am holy." We're called to holiness. But as I've watched people over the years, watched their life and even noticed sometimes in my own, I see this happen time and time again, where someone is beginning to experience some breakthrough. Okay, they are maturing in an area of their life. Okay, they're starting to see some victory. Okay, they're gaining, overcoming some temptation, some struggle that they've had that has plagued their entire Christian life. And for many of us, it was the life before Christianity too. At that point, it seems that we allow the devil to convince us that overcoming is simply not possible, okay? Or that overcoming is just out of our reach, okay? Or that it's a myth or a fallacy, something that's maybe it's there, maybe it's not, we don't really know because we've never been there, right? So as I talk about pressing through this morning, I want you to sort of fill in that blank, okay, with whatever area in your life that you have that you want so badly, but you just never seem to get there. Okay, maybe it's something to do with your finances. Okay, that's something that if I ask people, that is a concern for a lot of people. Okay, you've been wanting to get out of debt, you've been wanting to be free to give more or to go on missions or to travel or whatever it is. Maybe you just want to get out from under the weight and the bondage, okay, of being indebted to someone. Proverbs 22:7 says that the borrower is servant to the lender. In other words, you feel that weight. You feel like there are times when that debt sort of, you feel like it owns you. Okay, it kind of controls your life, and you want to get rid of that. Okay, you want to be out from underneath of that. Okay, maybe your breakthrough that you're seeking has to do with the area of your relationships with people. You know, someone was just telling me the other day about a friend of theirs that is now almost 90 years old and has her whole life had poor taste in men. Okay, choosing those guys that didn't want to work or that were abusive or had addiction problems or whatever. But this life is simply too short to go through the whole thing not understanding why you keep making the wrong choices in your relationships. Okay, if there's some kind of a pattern that you start to figure out about your life, you start seeing that you enter into this, and then you begin to make some changes, okay, start changing things so that it doesn't happen again, but then lo and behold, you end up in that exact same situation all over again. Okay, if that's you, then this message is for you. Put that in your blank, your relationships. Okay, maybe you have some areas of your life that need some work. Okay, maybe you have some sins in your life. You have some bad habits. You have some addictions. You have something that you want to break. But it seems like you take a step in the right direction and then you take two steps backwards. Okay, I want to encourage you this morning to the point that you press through to the victory on the other side. Okay, that you don't stop when you come up against that and quit right then and there, but press through to the other side. Because so often we quit too soon. Okay, we're right there. But we back down, we get complacent, we let up. Okay, maybe it's because things got hard. You know, that last step through that might be a tough one. You're going to have to make some tough choices to get over that line. Okay, and maybe it's right there that things get hard, so you quit. Okay, or maybe it just doesn't happen, or it's not happening the way that you thought it would. Okay, so you yield to doubt, you give in to failure, okay, and accept that instead. But I'm going to tell you, perseverance, faithfulness, patience, and obedience. No, we don't always like that one. But they all go hand in hand with the grace of Jesus Christ. Okay? Grace is not meant to give us an excuse to fall short of our goals. And I'm going to say that again because this plagues a lot of people. They've heard about grace. God's grace is great. It's good. It's awesome. He loves me. He cares for me. But they're using grace as an excuse to fall short. Okay, they're using grace for, I don't have to live up. I don't have to measure up. I don't have to be that good. It's okay. I'm struggling with this. I've always had it. I always will. And that's okay because I've got grace. That is not the answer. That's not what grace is about. It's more than this, but grace is there. It's much more than this, but grace is there as sort of a safety net. Okay, it is something that we should not plan to constantly need. Okay, now are we going to need God's grace all the way to the end? I'm going to need it. But at the same time, I'm not depending on that so much as I am just saying it's there if I need it. Okay, now I'll give you an example that maybe will make sense. The trapeze artists, you know those guys that swing from one bar to another on a big long cable? Okay, that trapeze artist does not plan to miss the bar on the other side. Okay, they don't plan to slip their hand and fall awkwardly down to this net below. Okay, the net is there. They know the net is there. But their goal is to reach that other handle every single time. And that should be your goal too. Your goal is not to always need the net. Your goal is not to always miss it. Your goal is to make it to the other side. And if you don't, if it slips out of your hand, you've got a net. Praise God. Climb back up the ladder and go at it again. Okay? But we don't want to plan on missing it. Okay? That's sort of abusing grace. You know, back in college, I sold books for this company, and we went out to the East Coast. I got recruited when I was in college by this guy. He had been doing it for many years, I think 12 years. He drove a stretch limo. I mean, this guy was making some money doing this stuff, and so it appealed. And so I began meeting with this guy and decided, yes, I'll go with. I'll sell these books out on the East Coast. Okay, well, that summer, as we left in the end of May or whatever it was, beginning of June, we stopped at a sales school for an intensive week of sales training in Nashville, Tennessee. Okay, it was very intense. It was 7 in the morning, and we'd go till 8 or 9 at night. It was long days. One of the things that I remember from that training was they taught us about the law of averages when it came to sales in this particular company. Okay, Their idea was that if you knocked on 100 doors every day, you would average out to about 7 sales a day, and you would be highly successful if you did that in this company. They taught us that every no that you encountered simply meant you were one door closer to a yes. Okay, your goal then was like this bigger picture of knocking on doors rather than making sales. They said, simply knock on the doors, the sales will come. Okay, my supervisor that had been doing it for years and drove this fancy car, he assured me that the sales would be there if you just persevered in knocking on doors. Okay, they even taught us how to knock on doors. It was 3 knocks, and it meant, I'm coming in. Okay, every door you knock 3 times. That's the way it worked. Then you would take your step back, turn sideways, and wait to give your spiel to whoever answered the door. Okay, now, I took that training seriously. I believed what my supervisor told me. I believed that if I just knocked on the doors, things would happen. Okay, and I know that what they said would work did work. Okay, 3 weeks in, we had a regional division sales meeting kind of thing on Sunday afternoons. That's what we did. We'd drive to a different city and we would meet with all these other people that were doing what we did. 3 weeks into that summer, I received an award at one of those regional meetings for being in the top 3 salesmen in the entire division. And all I was doing was following the instructions that said just knock on 100 doors a day. Okay, now it was easy for me to explain or to see, I guess, why my counterparts were not making very many sales. You could do it simply by checking their numbers. How many houses had they knocked on every day that week? Okay, because while I was out knocking on doors from 7 in the morning till 8:30 every day, okay, except Sundays, those were sales meeting days. Okay, from 7 in the morning till 8:30 at night, knocking on a minimum of 100 doors a day, rain or shine. It could be 100 degrees out, It could be pouring rain, thunderstorms. I got lightning struck one day that would have been like from here to, it was right across the street. I'll just say that. So across the city street, knocked me down. Okay. One day while I was walking to the next house. Okay. Now, my counterparts, many of them were hanging out in their cars, okay, whenever it rained. Or if it was too hot, they'd go sit in the air-conditioned, you know, coffee shop, or they'd go to the mall. They'd hang out. You're not going to sell at the mall, okay? Or they would just do anything. They were goofing off, in other words, okay? Finding anything they could do that was not knocking on doors. Some days when I was out, I only had one or two sales for the entire day. But other days, I'd have 10 or 12 sales, just depended on the area. The process that the company told me would work did work as long as I followed through and faithfully did it. Okay, now my point is that being faithful to God, persistently pursuing God, is part of God's master plan of success for your life. Okay, if we will keep on keeping on, okay, and not quit just because things get tough. Not quit just because the circumstance changed and, oh, now it's all over, I'm throwing in the towel. Okay, not change because we slipped a little bit. Okay, not throwing it away because something didn't happen the way that we thought it should. Okay, we will be fine in the end if we just be faithful to God. You know, I have a personal goal of publishing a book this year. So this last week I got in on a webinar for aspiring authors, right? And I got a lot of encouragement, I got some how-tos, I got some pointers and some inspiration. Okay, the seminar consisted of one guy that was interviewing a very famous and wealthy author named Jack Canfield. Okay, now, if you haven't heard of Jack, which many people haven't, I don't even think I could have told you his name. If you haven't heard of Jack, you probably heard of one of his best-selling books called Chicken Soup for the Soul. Okay, has anybody heard of that? Okay, when Jack was asked about the process of getting that book published, he explained how he was literally rejected 144 times by different publishers before one publisher finally said, yes, I will print this. 144. He went to the booksellers, you know, conference, the national conference, the worldwide stuff. He was showing up at these things and pitching his book to all these different places, and 144 times he was rejected. Okay, now, Chicken Soup for the Soul and its associated books, he wrote Chicken Soup for Everything. Okay, if you start looking it up, there's a gazillion titles. But that Chicken Soup series has now sold more than 600 million copies. And that Jack Canfield showed us, he held it up for the camera, a literal pay stub of a publishing company that paid him more than $1.1 million for 1 month of royalties. Talk about wealth. Okay, that was the biggest check that publishing company had ever given to one author for 1 month. Jack knew that he was supposed to get that book published. He got it inside. He heard it. He did not quit until he accomplished that goal. Okay, he could have thrown in the towel after the 143rd publisher turned him down, and nobody would have ever heard of the Chicken Soup series. You know, the Bible gives us a lot of great examples of times when men and women of God were right on the verge of something better, but they quit too soon. Okay, one of those examples that I can think of is when the king of Israel, King Joash, went to the prophet Elisha. Okay, and Elisha gives the king a prophecy by telling him to do certain things. For starters, he tells him, go over to the window that faces the east and open it up. Then take an arrow and shoot it out that window with a bow. And so he does that, and the prophet says, that arrow is the arrow of your victory. Okay, the king's feeling pretty good about it. Then Elisha tells him another thing to do. He says, now take that quiver of arrows, take some of the arrows out of it, and strike them on the ground. And so King Joash takes the arrows, and he strikes it on the ground three times. And then he kind of stops, and he looks over at Elisha. And Elisha gets mad, gets literally upset at him, and says, why did you only strike the ground three times? You should have struck the ground with those arrows at least five or six times. He said, since you only struck it three times, you're only going to have victory over your Syrian enemies in three battles. But if you'd have kept striking five or six times, then you would have completely annihilated your enemy. But now, after three battles, they are going to rise up and overtake you. Okay, now that passage in the Bible, it's in 2 Kings chapter 13. It has a special meaning for me. Okay, it stands out to me in particular because it played a powerful role in my life, my role as a husband and as a father, as a pastor. Back when my wife and I had just gotten married, we received a prophecy over our marriage. Someone spoke literally in the spirit over our marriage. And it was very similar to what Elisha gave to that King Joash. This guy said, keep striking the arrows on the ground and do not stop until the Lord says to stop. Be faithful, be diligent, and you will persevere. That's what they said. Now, many of you know kind of the backstory of how we even ended up in this building. Okay, how we ended up with the Oasis Church of Rollins. Okay, it came about after months and months and months and months of me preaching to a handful of people. At times, my wife, my son Elijah, who was this big, and my son Isaac, who was even littler. Okay, week after week after week, two services a week for months that went on. And then slowly one or more would come here and there. Or maybe 10 would be there for one service, and then it would go back down to just my family for another few more weeks. Okay, months and months of that going on. And every week, every service, I ask the Lord, is it time to quit? When do I throw in the towel? You can imagine how hard that is. You feel like you're called to it, and you're doing it, and it's just not happening. But week after week, I kept hearing the same thing from the Lord. He said, just be faithful to me. Okay? So 12 years and four church buildings later, here we are. Okay? And the best part is, we're just getting started. Okay? What I'm hearing, what I'm feeling now, what I'm sensing is that things are going to continue more than I can even imagine. The Bible gives us a lot of examples as well of people that didn't quit. Okay, the people that persevered, the people that kept on, kept keeping on when it was time to do what God asked them to do. In the end, they accomplished what God had for them. Imagine if they had stopped circling Jericho after five or six laps. Okay? The walls of Jericho would have never come tumbling down, like the song says. Okay? Imagine if David went out to fight Goliath, and when he got up and he looks up at him, he gets scared, decides he's changing his mind, and he goes back to the camp. Okay? That whole battle, that scene would have never happened. Okay, or think about the Apostle Paul as a great example. He went on three missionary journeys to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. In those journeys, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was thrown in jail repeatedly. Five times, the Bible says, that the Jews beat him with 39 lashes. Three times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned with rocks to the brink of death, left for dead. 3 times he was on ships that wrecked. And one of them, he says, and I spent a night and a day floating in the sea awaiting rescue. He was robbed by his own countrymen. He was robbed by heathens. He was lost in the wilderness. He was lied to and lied about. He went through times of freezing cold and nakedness. He nearly perished for lack of food and water at times. Yet he pressed through it all to accomplish his God-given call in life. At one point, he was told that if he went on to that next city, that he was going to be imprisoned in chains. And here's what he said to that in Acts 20:24. Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. You know, sometimes you just got to keep doing what you know you're supposed to do. You read your Bible, you pray, you go to church and small groups and Bible study, you call your pastor or some other godly counsel when you need it, you fellowship with like-minded believers and find people that will believe and pray with you and agree as two or more touching anything. You keep on keeping on and you press through without accepting any other option as a viable option. There is no other way. I'm going to make it through this. You trust that your God is with you and that He will strengthen you to be able to make it to the other side. Okay, in Isaiah 41:10, the Amplified Bible says it this way, says, fear not, for there is nothing to fear. For I am with you, says the Lord. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. God says He will harden you to the difficulties. Talk about having thick skin, maybe, or you know, have it. We think we just need to be pliable and soft all the time, but that's not true. There are times when we need to be a little tougher on the outside and not let that stuff get in and start bringing us down again. So often I see people get so close and then they let their flesh or they let their emotions begin to overrule the leading of the Holy Spirit and they back down. They give in, they give up, and they accept less than God's best. Okay, you've got to press through that uncomfortable feeling. I'm going to say this about 3 times because this is the whole everything you need. You've got to press through the uncomfortable feeling. Everybody's level of comfort is a little different, but apply that to your life. You've got to press through that uncomfortable feeling. When I'm talking about pressing through, that is not a big deal, but that's the deal. It's a deal breaker if you will not get over your uncomfortableness. Okay? If you will not cross that line because it makes you feel awkward, it makes you feel out of sorts. It doesn't make me feel like, you know, like I'm on top. I just feel like I'm kind of struggling through it for that moment. You've got to press through that uncomfortable feeling. You got to press on when you think there's nothing left in the tank. Okay, you've got to get back up one more time and go at it again. You know, some people don't even get started with, you know, toward their God-given desires because they let fear, okay, the fear of man, the fear of failure, the fear of feeling awkward or feeling uncomfortable keep them from doing what needs to be done. They stay at home rather than feel uncomfortable for 5 minutes to get past it so they could experience the new that God has for them. Think about this message as I close that Jesus gave us. It's in Luke chapter 11. starting in verse 5. Jesus said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me, and we're all in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.' But Jesus answers himself, and he says, 'I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything just because he is his friend, yet because of his shameless persistence, because of his boldness, because he was willing to press through that uncomfortable feeling. Imagine that guy going to wake up his friend in the middle of the night. None of us would feel comfortable. That guy didn't feel comfortable. But he was willing to press through that uncomfortableness, and he received everything that he needed. That's why I said the message of Jesus is to press through that awkward feeling sometimes. Step across the line. Okay, go where you've never been. Step in deep with God. It's going to be okay. Okay, this is the exact description of pressing through that I've been talking about this morning. It's that point where you get over your hang-ups. It's that point where you set down the excuses and you press past that uncomfortable feeling to do what you need to do when you need to do it, and you will accomplish whatever you need. Okay, this man felt a little uncomfortable waking his friend up in the middle of the night, but he did it anyway. Okay, the Spirit of God is leading you. He is within you. He is prompting you. God is with you to strengthen you in the moment. He will not leave you hanging. That step of boldness is a legitimate step of faith. And as soon as you engage faith, God is in the scene. God is there working it out, making things happen. All things work together for those that love God. I love God and I'm going to step through, and he is going to be there with me, helping to do everything that you now need to do. God gets involved in the process, I believe, when you step through that uncomfortable window. Okay, as soon as you cross over into faith that I'm going, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going, God comes onto the scene. He gets involved in the process. You have now engaged his strength toward your victory. So keep on faithfully knocking on those doors. Go to that 145th publisher. Shake off the tribulation, the persecution, and don't let it move you. March around that problem one more time, staring it down with victory in your sights. Okay, determined to beat those arrows on the ground until God says to stop. Okay, that's how you press through to your victory. Take a step of boldness. Keep pressing through. Praise God. God, I lift you up and exalt your holy name. I pray that this morning that your power manifests inside of each one of us. That, Lord, as you have placed of your Spirit in our hearts, that we now know that as we step into things, that we can go in with full assurance, full confidence in your power and strength. You're involved in our victory. Father, we praise you, we exalt you and worship you for all that you've done. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the men and women of God that we can read about that have not stopped. Thank you for the victories that we've had in our life when we didn't think we could, but we got it because of you and your help. Lord, I pray that we continue to press in, to let go, to push aside, to throw away the excuses and begin to press into you with everything that we've got. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen.